Joshua 22, from verse 9 to verse 34. I confess that I find this one of the most difficult passages in all Scripture. I really don't know whether to come down on the side of saying it's good or it's bad. I know it's recorded in Scripture, it really happened. But is it recorded as an example to me, something to copy and emulate? Or is it recorded as a warning to me, showing me what I must not do? I find this a difficult matter to decide. Let me go over the account. From verse 6, Joshua blesses the 2.5 tribes. He's honored them for their faithfulness, the way they had kept their word, the way that they had seen the task through to the very end. And now he says, go home and share the plunder with your brothers. Share and share alike. So the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh left the Israelites at Shiloh, and they went back to Canaan. When they came to Geliloth, near the Jordan, in the land of Canaan, these 2.5 tribes built an imposing altar there by the Jordan. I take it they built it on the west side of the Jordan. But they built it at the Jordan. They built an imposing altar at the riverside. The rest of the tribes heard about this. And when the Israelites, verse 11, heard that they had built the altar, the whole assembly of Israel gathered at Shiloh to go to war against the 2.5 tribes. Before they went to war, they sent Phinehas to these tribes and other men as well, men of the chief men from each tribe. They sent them as a negotiating party to find out. And they challenged the 2.5 tribes. Verse 16, the whole assembly of the Lord says, how could you break faith with the Lord, with the God of Israel like this? How could you turn away from the Lord and build yourselves an altar in rebellion against him now? They reminded them of Peor. They reminded those tribes of the plague that fell there. The whole land will be defiled. And they appealed to them to come back to the west side of Jordan, where the Lord's tabernacle stands, and share the land with us. But do not rebel against the Lord by building an altar for yourselves. Remember Achan. Remember, he was not the only one who died for his sin. Don't do this. You're building an altar. Come back to us. Pull down this altar and stop this sin. Don't commit the sin of Peor or Achan. The 2.5 tribes respond immediately. The mighty one, God the Lord, the mighty one, God the Lord, he knows. And let Israel know. We haven't done this out of rebellion or disobedience. If we have, then kill us, yes. We haven't built our own altar to turn away from the Lord and to offer burnt offerings and grain offerings or sacrifice fellowship offerings on it. No, no, no. If we have, may the Lord himself call us to account. No, no, no. We did this out of fear that one day in the future, some of your descendants might say to ours, our children, what do you have to do with the Lord, the God of Israel? The Jordan is between us. You don't belong to us. You Reubenites, Gadites, Manassites, you have no share in the Lord. And your descendants might drive us away from Israel and cause us to stop fearing the Lord. So we said, let's build an altar then, not to sacrifice on, no, 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 but let it be a witness between us and you and the generations that follow, on your side of the Jordan, I think, so that you will see it and say, ah, this is what they built here, as a testimony that they belong to us. So you won't be to cut off our children from Israel. And if they ever do say this, then our children will be able to answer, look, we built that replica of the Lord's altar. Our fathers built it, not to worship on, but as a witness. Of course we won't rebel against the Lord, verse 29. We're not going to offer sacrifices other than the altar of the Lord our God in the tabernacle. Phinehas and the leaders of the 10 tribes heard this and they rejoiced and they said, the Lord is with us because you have not acted unfaithfully towards the Lord in this matter. You've rescued the Israelites from the Lord's hand. There is no trouble here. We can recognize it now. And they went back to the rest of the Israelites and everybody was delighted. They were glad to hear the report and praise God. There was no more talk of war. They recognized that the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh belonged to Israel and wanted to belong to Israel and were thinking of their descendants, their posterity, and they rejoiced. And the altar was given the name, a witness between us that the Lord is God. Well, it's all good, isn't it? I mean, I can pick out some of the good points for you. They were leaving the land, but they were not leaving God. And they were thinking of their children. They wanted the spiritual welfare of their children and their security. And they built the altar immediately as a witness, putting God first before ease and family, possessions and home. There's some bad points here, though. Israel judges by appearance. I'm very prone to do that. I think we all are. They were quick to condemn and accuse and even go to war. They would condemn and kill men on superficial evidence, except they did probe it. That was their first reaction. They made a hasty opinion. They had a misunderstanding. They placed an evil construction on their friends and neighbors' action. They were one-sided in their thinking. They were thinking of the outward and they didn't weigh the motive. And yet it's good. Before they took any action, they sent a delegation and the bitterness was removed. It was removed by talking. There was fervent, clear explanation. There was questions. There were answers. They cleared their consciences. They admitted their mistakes. They removed their prejudice. Israel said, we were wrong on this. Yes. They showed genuine love between the tribes. They were open-minded. They weren't obstinate. They received the 2.5 tribes explanation. Everybody was looking for good in it. And they were ready to be convinced. They were very tolerant. They removed suspicion. They were godly in their jealousy and concern over all things. Everybody was concerned to please the Lord. And we see here the way to settle quarrels, to remove suspicion, to clear conscience, and to talk things out, to avoid schism in the people of God. Say again about these 2.5 tribes. What a commendable point. They were willing, eager to think of the future. They put that first. The spiritual future of their children. It wasn't their wealth. It wasn't their education. It wasn't their possessions. It was their spiritual association with the Lord in Israel. And blood ties were less valuable to them than spiritual ties. They wanted their children to be linked to the Lord God of Israel. They were thinking of building a monument to God too. The Lord is God. A witness between us that the Lord is God. They weren't building monuments to their dead. They weren't building monuments to their prowess. They were building monuments to the Lord God. All this is excellent. As I say, they were afraid that they might be cut off, not only from Israel, but from the ordinances of God, from God himself, from the tabernacle. the place where God met with his people and received their worship. It warns us that we should think of motives and probe and find out before we come to judgments. But memorials are established by God. There's some scriptural evidence for it. We've looked at the stones, the Passover. There are memorials that God has established. But again, there's bad here. Our good actions can lead to suspicion in others. And we should fear apostasy. We should fear going away from the Lord. But we should cultivate the best motives. You see, all this is a mixture to me. I see good and bad. I see the evidence of good here. The zeal for God, the praise of God, the wanting to be staying with God, and their children to be with God, not to be cut off. But I see the bad impression and how it can lead to suspicion and fear and doubt and quarrels. And I can see how this can be abused. I can see a Roman Catholic saying, well, our images are only meant to be helps and memorials. You see, we can mean well and cause difficulty and harm and trouble. I can see how we could use all this to prevent any kind of reformation in church life. We could say, well, look at the Israelites. They tolerated this, so we must tolerate things in our time. So I am divided. I'm confessing it. Does Joshua 22 prove that God approved of the act? Were the Israelites right to be pleased? Is it any more than a record of what happened and the responses and the conclusion? Is it a warning or is it an example? Whichever it is, I must follow. Well, that's an overview of the passage. I'll come back and look at it in the next discourse and look at some of the details here. But I confess, it's not very clear for you, I'm sure. I confess my difficulties. I see good points, which I should like to cultivate, but I see warning points, red flags, which make me careful and thoughtful. But I return again to Joshua 22 from verse 9 and on, and look at it in more detail.